Hey everybody, welcome along to another Tech Talk UK. We are releasing? No, we're not. We're recording this.
We haven't started yet.
I'm just going to carry on though, because we haven't got too long tonight. We're recording this on Tuesday, the 12th of September, just about a half an hour after the Apple event ended. It was quite a bit shorter than normal, and I would say that 90% of this show will probably be about that, maybe 80%. But we will kick off. Obviously, the dulcet tones you heard there were Mr. Richard Yates. Hello, mate.
Good evening, Kev. Hello, everybody.
So we missed, basically, I think we missed one, did we? We're kind of making up for it with this, I guess.
We sort of done, yeah, because unfortunately our holidays didn't work very good at all.
Yeah, a little crossover with the holidays, yeah. Just got back from sunny Wales. The first week was a bit of a mixed bag, but not terrible. The only terrible thing was day one of the holiday proper, Sunday after we got there, dug the electric bikes out, which are a bit of a struggle to take away because you've got to take the pedals off and get everything off because they go inside the caravan for travel. That's about the only way you can take them. I'm not keen on strapping them on the back of a caravan, although you do see people doing it, but I'm not happy with that. So they go inside, a little bit of hassle factor taking them. And, you know, two whopping great lithium batteries, given some of the problems with e-bike and e-scooter batteries that you read about. So you've always got that little concern. Even though we've got them in a fireproof bag, you know, you're never quite sure about these things. And my Scute that I probably spoke about too well about a year ago, they've had an awful lot of problems with the batteries failing. Not necessarily, none of them are caught fire or anything like that. They just fail prematurely. And sure enough, yeah, day one of the holiday, had at least four or five good bike rides planned because we went back to a place in Mid Wales where we've been a couple of times before, so we sort of know the lie of the land, and we had a few planned. And, yeah, about 15 metres down the road, battery died and never came back to life. So
15 metres?
15 metres. I changed it. I was going to say yards, but I knew that would upset you, so I changed it to metres.
So basically, almost no distance at all.
No, got all set up, didn't even get out of the driveway of the campsite, and it stopped. Essentially, these things are obviously lithium batteries. They're basically 18 650s. Inside the pack, you know, all done in packs of in sets of five, I believe, and then you have to wire them all sorts of, you know, parallel and serial. I don't fully understand it. Having said that, my plan is at some point is to take that pack apart and have a little look and see, because the likelihood is that one or two cells have basically died. There's rumours going around that they're not even genuine Samsung cells in the batteries. Long story short, though, is we couldn't ride the bikes. Obviously, you can't really ride an e-bike without, even without the battery on, which is about 5 kilos, it's very, very hard. We did actually try. We did take them down to a little reservoir and tried on the flat, and I made about 2 miles, and then said, you know, 2 miles out and 2 miles back, so 4 miles, and that would have been more than enough. It's just hard work because they're, even without the battery, they're nearly 20 kilos, so they weigh a lot more than a normal bike. And it was 32 degrees as well, and very little shade, so it was pretty bad to do that. So that was very, very disappointing. I've managed these batteries, as an example, replacement batteries are £360, and this is on an e-bike that was £1,000, which is actually very cheap for an e-bike. Now, what I decided in the end, they had a 2-year warranty, but the company are based in China. The factory is in Poland. There's been lots of problems, put it that way. And our good friend Mark Peters had a problem with them, which I felt bad about because I sort of semi-recommended the bike to him. But I think now my advice would be to anyone wanting an e-bike, go for even now, go for something like either Helford's or at least so there's a shop that you can go and see to get these things sorted out. Because in the end, I did okay because the company, they did offer to repair it. Started off waffling about me having to send it to Poland. And by the way, it'll take about 2 months, you know, to get there and back and get repaired. And that's all a front to try and basically get you to buy a new battery. And then I got them down to £80 ultimately, which I knew they'd done for other people. So I decided to buy that for £80. One, and it still couldn't get it until we got back. There was no way of getting it shipped to where we were. So I had to wait till it only turned up yesterday, funnily enough. So I got a brand new battery, which works absolutely fine again. I think a little part of me was I could have held out and pushed for, you know, making them pay and this sort of thing. But I would have never been confident in that battery pack anyway. And I think a little
trouble, isn't it?
No, you just wouldn't trust it, you know, to bike out, say, 14, 15 miles and then you're completely stuck, you know. And a little part of me felt like I hadn't looked after that battery particularly well. I didn't really, basically what they reckon, I didn't even know this actually until recently. You literally are supposed to put it on charge for what, at least an hour once a month, use it or not use it. And I think I'd stored it also at full voltage or full charge, I should say. And over time, obviously, that goes down. But I am going to, if I can get enough knowledge from YouTube and anywhere else, I'm going to try and take it apart and look and see if I can actually repair it myself and have a second battery. But I am pretty tempted to move it on. And it'll be a cheap bike, you know, for somebody who knows the risks. I'd be completely straight with someone about the score with it and buy a much more expensive one like the one Jackie got, which was like a couple of grand, you know. But I don't know. I'm going to wait and see. If I do, I do it through the Cycle at Work scheme because that'll actually save a hell of a lot of money with that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Those schemes are good, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Very, very good. Yeah, it does save a hell of a lot of money. Up until the point, I'm just going to have to send a quick message to my good lady downstairs and ask her to come and get my Apple Watch because it needs to go on charge, otherwise it won't be able to sleep in it. You can talk if you want while I do this.
Well, you know, might as well. Yeah, and you went to the fantastic Red Kite bird watching feeding station.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the one that appears on television several times a year, where 50 red kites turn up, and that didn't quite happen for me.
I've never seen that on TV actually. That one.
No, it has been, but
it's one of the more famous places, I think.
Yeah, the day I went there, it was like the cloud was not in the sky, it was on the ground.
Yeah.
And it was raining and the birds were sort of, we're not that hungry, we're not going to bother. So
yeah,
so
it was
a two-hour detour on the way home.
Yeah, I know. I felt bad, actually. Interestingly, we went there. I mean, in the end, I think now officially one of my most favourite places in the UK, and I don't go out of the UK, so that classes as the world, really. It just is such a great place. You wouldn't have seen it that day, but if you imagine it being a glorious day. Thank you. Can you pop it on charge for me? Lovely. Yeah, if you can imagine a lovely day sitting there. I mean, we sat there, we visited it in a fortnight. We visited it five or six times. And I just, if we lived anywhere near that, you know, I'd be there all the time. It's just, and we go for a walk, you know, we go for a 2 or 3 mile walk first. And then, and we don't even go down to watch them, the birds anymore. We just stay up on the hill. You may not have noticed it in the gloom, but if you look up from the car park, if you look up, you can walk up towards the forest. They all circle over there. There's a cliff, There's a cliff edge there, and we think that you can sort of almost tell where the currents are going. They can sort of fly towards it, and the wind is hitting it and lifting them up, and they just circle around there for like an hour, 2 hours afterwards. Absolutely incredible. Just a great place to be. But yeah, I'm sorry you didn't see them. A couple of times we went, they didn't turn up at 3 o'clock, which is their feeding time. They just didn't turn up, and they actually started to turn up from about 3:45 and then stayed until about 5:30. I mean, it's quite remarkable sight. But yeah, lovely, lovely, lovely place. Absolutely love it. This is we're talking about 10 miles from Aberystwyth inland on the main A44. So if you're in Wales, it's called, I'm rubbish at this, but it's called Nant, N-A-N-T, Y-R, Arian. Arain, I think, and it's yeah, like I say, it's about 10 miles inland from Aberystwyth, and with the weather we had in the second week, it was just a gorgeous place to be, and we would love to. That was one of the places we want to cycle round, you know, and just couldn't do it. So annoying, but it just proves how batteries are important in our hobby and with everything, you know. Without the battery, it's completely useless. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a cyclist, as in I can be bothered to put all the effort in. I do love, once you've had an e-bike, it's quite hard to go back to riding a normal bike, really, to be honest. Now, the only, and what I was going to say to slinky link into the iPhone event tonight is, I can't really get a new bike and an iPhone because they're most interesting thing about the event for me tonight, I don't think technologically there's much in it, and you could even see that Apple were struggling in places.
Our most pro iPhone.
I mean, just very, very, very vanilla and very basic. But I mean, all these events now are pretty much the same, aren't they? I mean, there's almost no point anymore in holding them because there is nothing new in the world, basically.
It's such a shame. I mean, do you remember the sort of days when, you know, things like the first MacBook Air came out and he pulled it out of an envelope completely as a surprise? Or the Nokia 808, nobody really saw that one coming. And there was a certain amount of it was worth watching just to see what they do. Whereas now, you know, like literally everything is known about these things, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, in years gone past, I've left off early to get home for 6:00. But I mean, now the routine is set. I knew if I got home at 6:30, which I did, I knew I'd still be fine for the iPhone, and it was just about perfect.
To be honest, I just read the text version on Mac Rumors.
Yeah, I mean, the most surprising thing actually is pricing. The Pro, the 15 Pro. This year, it seems to me, actually, from what I've seen of the live thing, it seems to me that you either buy a 15 non-pro, which is now, I mean, it's now basically as bright as a 13 and 14 Pro was. Certainly 13 Pro, it's the same brightness, which was my sort of deal, if you like. 60 hertz, no, you know, not 120 hertz, but I cannot tell the difference at all.
No,
under any circumstances. I even switched my 13 Pro down, turned off ProMotion because I can't see the difference, and it saves a bit of battery. There's some interesting things, though. This year's 14 Pro started at 1,049. It was the first time they'd gone over the 1,000. But the 15 Pro starts at 999.
There is of course one thing that perhaps worth mentioning. That is, last year, about this time, was the ill-fated government of Liz Truss.
Yeah.
And at that time, the pound was absolutely plunging and looked like it was going to go further. And I think, to be honest, Apple took a certain amount of padding there to make sure that they were safe. Now, if you look at what the value of the pound is against the dollar now, I don't know actually what it is today, but it was sort of in the 120s, whereas around then it was 106 at one point, if I remember rightly.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I think part of this is the exchange rate has given them a bit of latitude on the price. The pricing is not terrible. But I think the biggest problem from my perspective is I don't really see what's in it for me replacing the 14 Pro Max.
I mean, oh, absolutely nothing. Absolutely no, nothing.
To be honest, I've been suffering from my usual sort of, you know, whenever I've got the ordinary model, I want the large one.
Yeah.
And whenever I've got the large one, I want the small one. So I'd more or less thought to myself, well, actually, there are two things that would make it worth switching to a 15 Pro. One would be the size, and the other would be that I actually think, well, 128 is usually okay, but I've had a few occasions where,
yeah,
you know, it would have just been nice to have a little bit more, and I had to sort of take a little bit of stuff off. Mm. Not very much, but,
yeah,
you know, I thought, yeah, that actually would be a reason why I might do it. And so what happens? They basically say, well, we're only going to put the better camera of the two in the Pro Max.
Yeah.
And the result is, I'm afraid, it doesn't give me that option. So now I need to sort of work out what I'm going to do from there.
Yeah. So the Pro Max is, interestingly, the Pro Max is $1,199 and the 15 Pro is $999, but that's not the full story, because at $999 the Pro is $128, and that's if you want the 256, it's $1,099. So you know, ultimately it's still, whichever way you look at it, it's still £50 cheaper than last year. Yeah, now here's another interesting thing. There was two things. I kind of got used to the bigger screens, didn't I, with the S23 Ultra. Really like that. Started thinking about a 15 Plus, because that's got a nice big screen, but it's much lighter. The 15 Pro Max now is actually 18 grams heavier than my 13 Pro. Because basically the titanium on the Pro and Pro Max is now much, much lighter than stainless steel. So my current 13 Pro is 203 grams, and the 15 Pro Max is 221 grams. And I haven't looked up the S23 Ultra, but it was more than 221 grams, I'm pretty sure. So I'm in several minds, really, as to what to go for, if anything, because the 13 Pro is still doing the job. But I've just found one recycler. They're called Smart Cellular. I've never heard of them, but I mean, they're still offering £580 somehow for a 13 Pro 128. Which Apple are offering. Apple are only offering $435. Music Magpie are sort of $510. But for the first time ever on a phone, I have got a very, very tiny scratch on it. It's one of these where you can only see it if you A, know it's there, and B, turn the phone off and angle it in the right light, and or put a torch on it. It's very, and in fact, since I noticed it when I was on holiday, I'm very surprised at myself, really. I suppose perhaps because it was a 13 Pro, and it's a couple of years old, I suppose. I was thinking, well, okay, who cares, you know? And I didn't really care that much. And I was looking for it today, and I couldn't find it at first. But it is there. But actually, the one that's offering 580 allows for one to three light marks on the screen, you know. And they're saying they'll give you that money, but I don't know if they're genuine or not. But at £600, nearly, you know, it's. Yeah.
And Apple is
$430,
not $435.
Yeah, so, and I mean, actually, I think Music Magpie was $480 if it even drops down to the good condition, you know, so I'd certainly get at least that. So say $500 for argument's sake, or thereabouts, and I mean, you know, it doesn't sound too bad. But I don't know. There was a couple of interesting things. They said when they were talking about the watch, they said, oh, it goes up to 2,000 nits, which is twice as bright as last year's, which was 1,000 nits. And I think, no, it's not. It's just really bad of Apple to get stuff like that wrong. As we all know, the light nits isn't linear. It does, certainly 2,000 nits isn't twice as bright as 1,000 nits. Nowhere near. Nowhere near. In fact, the higher you go, the harder it is to tell the difference. So they got a few little things. I noticed a couple of other things that I've now forgotten.
And I've got to say, so what? You know, the I watch Ultra. It's bright enough to walk.
Oh yeah, God, yeah. Lights on, without a doubt, yeah. I think these things are always really in. These are always for California, really, aren't they? Let's be honest. Where actually the sun, you know, shines most of the year and is obviously out all the time and that sort of thing. And when they came up with the US prices of $9.99 from $9.99 for the Pro, I put in our back channel, yeah, no, let's wait for the UK prices. I was genuinely expecting, something like £1,100 starting price. Because everyone was saying, well, titanium's dearer. Well, I wouldn't imagine it is much dearer to someone like Apple buying the quantity they're buying. But also they're gonna raise the prices of them quite substantially. I missed the bit about cameras. I've got the comparator open right now. There's no periscope zoom, is there?
Only on the Pro Max.
Yeah, but is it periscope or just a fixed five?
I think it's prismatic or something, okay. Something like that. But I think it's technically a periscope, yeah.
Okay, so it's 5x versus 3x, and I can probably count on the fingers of one hand how many times I've used the zoom camera on my 13 Pro, if I'm honest. I just don't know if it's a thing for me anymore. Usually a few weeks ago I was asked by one of my nieces would I be prepared to film her wedding, which is next week, and I said absolutely 100% not a chance in hell that I will do that, I'm afraid. Not a chance. I mean, they're not very, you know, they're not very well off, and photographers are sort of £500-700 apparently, for that sort of thing. And I said, no, look, I'm really sorry, I can't do that. I'm more than happy to take, I always do at the family weddings and things, I always take pictures. I'll take other pictures, you know, that you won't get from the wedding photographer. I'll do that. And they, you know, said, fair enough, okay. And then they said, would you be prepared to, we'll get a photographer for like 2 or 3 hours, but we can't really afford a videographer as well. Would you be prepared to video some stuff, but mostly the ceremony? It's in a registry office. They're quite happy with videoing, which I think even most churches are these days. And I said, yeah, you know, I'll do that. I've got the RX 10 Mark IV. And the more I thought about it and the video I took of these birds and other things while I was away, and taking out of the frame that obviously this RX 10 has got a 600mm lens, but I'm not going to need that in the registry office. So taking everything into account, I've decided to film the ceremony with the iPhone. Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel weird about standing up there doing it, because it's going to look like, oh, look at him with his, but you know, at the end of the day, I think they're going to get better video from an iPhone 13 Pro than they would from the RX, because the RX has only got 4K at 25p, so it's actually quite a slow rate to do stuff with. It hasn't got HDR, which I think is fabulous, and the people that will be watching this video have all got Apple devices. Not sure, to be fair, actually, whether they've got screens capable of playing HDR, so thinking about it, that might not matter. So I've actually decided to video. I bought a gimbal specifically for it, a DJI Osmo 6. I had a brief play with a gimbal a couple of years ago, which was also a DJI, but I just wasn't impressed with it at all. But I thought I'll give it another go. I'll look slightly more professional holding one of those up, probably. But yeah, I mean, it's weird, isn't it? It's getting to that point. But what else has the 15 Pro Max got? Because they went away from that, didn't they? For a couple of years, the cameras were the same on both sizes, which everyone said was a great thing, you know.
I'm sitting here thinking, bother, sort of thing, or words to that effect, because I think I would have liked to have had the smaller one had the cameras been the same, but they're not.
So I'm looking at them right now. Pro camera system, 48 megapixel main, ultra wide telephoto. Telephoto exactly the same.
It's the 5x and 3x optical zoom.
Is that literally it?
Well, I'm sure there may be different processing or whatever, but as far as I can see, yes, that is the difference.
Because that surely isn't a big deal. Let's have a look. 48, f1.78, telephoto 2.8, 12 megapixel on the telephoto, 0.5, 1, 2, and 5x, 0.5, 1, 2, and 3x. Yeah, that looks to be... it, I really don't think that's enough to make a decision on, is it?
Not really.
I honestly don't.
I mean, the point is, Kerry, it's enough to make a different decision, isn't it? Which is, what's the point in changing it at all?
Oh, if you've got a 14 Pro Max, I don't think anyone with a 14 Pro Max should change it. We all know you will anyway. We're having that conversation. I don't know actually.
I haven't really thought about it. I mean, they certainly have made matters quite difficult for me by opening ordering at a time I've got a hospital appointment.
I think ultimately, you know, if that was your only device and you wanted to change it every year, I think that's fine. But you've got lots of devices, you've got lots of different things. You've still got S23 Ultra or no?
Yeah.
So you don't really need to do that. You've got a 10x zoom on that. You don't need a 5x.
I think, to be absolutely honest, it's a better camera than the iPhone in most situations. Yeah. Not all of them. I mean, the iPhone, I think, is better for video, but unfortunately, I don't do very much video.
Yeah. Absolutely. Whereas I probably do more video than I do stills. So, which is probably why I wouldn't use the, I just wouldn't really use even the 3x zoom because, you know, it doesn't really, it isn't as good. It's only 12 megapixels versus 48 for starters. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. One thing, obviously, whatever I buy, is I have to face up to and embrace the Monkey Island, unfortunately, because they've now bought that to
the 15. Said would never pass into your collection.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. I mean, if they, I guess when I said that, I was very much hoping that it would be a flash in the pan and would be quietly hidden away, or certainly in a year or two it would just disappear altogether. But no, apparently Apple told us tonight that the owners absolutely love it, and more apps are taking advantage of it. So I guess if I wish to continue with an iPhone, I either go and buy a 14 tomorrow. Now, we sold a couple of 14s at work today, and I set one of them up actually for someone. And we actually do tell people now, you know, we say, look, hang on, there's an event tonight, and within 10 days, you're going to be able to buy a 15 for exactly the same money, which isn't strictly true, because we got about £50 off the base 14s at the moment. So that's the other thing, is we've been selling the base models with sort of £50 off all year, pretty much. I don't think we've reduced the pros at all, just the non-pros. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm in two minds, I think, three or four.
It's like making this out of titanium. Just feels like it feels like a gimmick to me. Titanium is a much rarer metal than iron and steel, but I don't know how common it is. I'm not going to pretend otherwise, but. Yeah, okay, so it's made of titanium, and what, you know, I mean...
I guess it just makes it lighter.
Did you see what they were saying about the same material as the Mars rover?
Yeah, I saw them mention that. I don't know. I mean, half the stuff they say, I don't even know why they bother.
I mean, so what? I'm not trying to buy a bloody Mars rover. We're not even a dune buggy or a golf buggy. Mm. I'm trying to buy a phone. So the fact that it's made out of the Mars rover. I was just looking at the language, and I was just thinking, you know, when you take a step back from that, an awful lot of these highfalutin phrases are totally empty. They just sound good, but there's nothing in them.
I think the same comes from Google and Samsung. I don't think they're all pretty much the same, aren't they, at the end of the day? And people don't really buy them for that, I suppose. They want the ecosystem, and that's what the choices are, I suppose. But, I mean, I guess the if the 14 suddenly dropped... mind you, I the only thing that put me off a normal 14 was they're not quite as bright as my 13 Pro, and that has been resolved with the 15.
let's put a slightly different thought in your head. Now, you've got a 13 Pro, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah, right, okay. That's exactly the same phone as my wife has got.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, oh, you know, she's out of the scene. When you get back, we'll have a look at the sort of available colours and whatever, and we can decide what you upgrade to, because generally she upgrades every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's going to say to me, what advantages am I getting out of upgrading from the 13 Pro to a 15 Pro? And, okay, you're going to get a new battery. That's one thing. But
yep.
that could be dealt with differently.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I'm sitting there thinking, well, the advantages aren't actually smacking your face, are they? You
know? No. And again, my battery's 90%. And Dave said in our back channel, you should treat yourself because you've kept that 13 Pro 2 years. But, of course, I haven't kept this Pro 2 years. It's not even a year old yet. Because if you remember, I sold my 13 Pro,
yeah, but
256, and then ended up paying more than I sold that one for to buy a 128 a couple of weeks later. So I can't remember exactly when I bought this one, but it's probably is now about a year ago, actually, I guess.
Well, I mean, I was looking at her phone earlier, and her battery capacity is still 91%.
Yeah.
That's a phone from launch.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just looking at my Pro Max, actually, and done the same test on that. Yeah, so my Pro Max, which I got at launch, is maximum capacity 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
So the reasons that you know, it might drive me to say, yeah, I want to sell it aren't really massive. Then you got some sort of really, I mean, I don't know, this magic button around the side that's replaced the on-off toggle. I think actually the on-off toggle is one of the really useful things about an iPhone. You can very quickly silence it and maybe you know, get used to the key presses on that button. Yeah, but if it's not broke, don't fix it sort of category for me, really.
That am I right in saying that wasn't on the 15, only on the Pro? Strikes me as very odd, actually, at the time. But I did. They certainly didn't mention it on the non-Pro. And if we look on the non-Pro...
Isn't on the non-Pro. That's got a ring silent switch. The action button is on there.
Oh, I don't know. I'm looking at a picture of it, and I think it is a button. No.
I'm looking at the comparison. I compare iPhone models and it's a ring silent switch.
Oh, okay. So that's weird. That's weird in itself, really. I don't care either way because I've never used the switch. I've literally never used it, I don't think. So it wouldn't. I'd probably use the button more than I would the switch.
That of course is one of the interesting things about how everybody uses things differently. I mean, I know there were a couple of guys saying this afternoon. I only ever pay using an Apple Watch.
Yeah. And I was one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that about twice, and I found it really awkward and inconvenient. I've never done it since. But everybody's different, and so I suppose you know things like that. I've forgotten the name of the bloody things already. Action button. Yeah, excellent.
it looks like you can assign that to a shortcut, so it could be quite useful. But it's all incredibly minor stuff, isn't it, at the end of the day?
I think, to be honest, having sat there following it on text, I was glad I hadn't watched the actual video. But
yeah, it wasn't very interesting.
I mean, it's a bit like, I'm going to go out this morning and polish the car, and maybe I'll put a couple of stickers on it, and then I'll try and say to you it's all new. It just isn't. You know, yes, there are some changes, but they're not very big. I mean, another way, what are you getting for an iPhone 15 that you aren't getting on an iPhone 13? Well, yeah, there are things, of course there are, but not...
It's not a hell of a lot, if I'm honest. No. There's very little.
And as I recall, we were saying much the same about the 12 and the 14 this time last year.
Yeah.
And
I'm not sure what else we...
Don't mend it, but...
What else do we expect, though, honestly? iOS 17 is out. And not the developer anymore. It's the full Monty. Yeah, it's out already. That's incredible, isn't it? I'm going to update now, see what happens. I mean, I don't know why, because... It's probably very much the same as the beta, but perhaps without the some of the battery draining stuff in it. So
yeah,
I'll give it a go. It was
did drain a bit, didn't it?
It was quite funny actually. We have a customer today last week they bought an iPad Air, and they took it home. They declined our setup because of cost, I think, and they took it home, set it up. And they came back a week later saying it was faulty. And what they'd done was they'd they'd applied a passcode to it during the setup, and then they'd promptly forgotten the passcode for it. We said, look, I'm really, really sorry. It's not faulty. We certainly can't take it back because ultimately we would have to throw it in the bin. We can't do anything with it. We're not taking it back. We'll fix it for you free of charge and do you a free setup. That's no problem. You know, give us all your details and we'll set it up. Well, they unfortunately didn't have, they've got an Apple account, but they didn't have it attached to their one and only iPhone. So they couldn't reset the password because they didn't have it connected to another device. We tried to reset the passcode online, and they'd tried and failed so many times Apple locked them out, so they had to contact Apple directly, and that takes about a week for Apple to say okay, they put a special marker on it and you can then go in and change it. And they popped back today so I could do that for them, and the first thing I thought is, how on earth do I change that? Okay, so we'll go through and do the regular change. And it comes up with, we'll send a code to your phone number. And the only phone number they've got on there is their home phone. So, and they'd travelled quite a long way, sort of 25 miles each way. And I said, look, the only way, we can still do it, but the only way, I'm going to need one of you to be at home to pick up the telephone, because if I send a code to your home phone, the odds are, depending on your telecom company, most of them will read that out to you. They'll, like a robot, will read out the number if you get a text message to a landline, believe it or not. And you can then just give me the number and then we'll reset your Apple ID. That's absolutely fine. And then I suddenly realized that I've still got to somehow reset the iPad. Because the iPad is still passcode locked and you can't do anything with it. And what you have to do is basically stick it into DFU mode, et cetera, et cetera. It took me a while to work it out. Anyway, long story short, when you do that, you have to download the whole of the software for that particular iPad. The Apple system works it out, and it said on our store Wi-Fi, it said 3 hours and didn't move for the next sort of half an hour. It's still stuck at 3 hours. It was only about 7 gigs of data. So in the end, I fired up my hotspot, went outside the front, and I'm getting a gig a second on Smarty, certainly 800 megabytes a second most times, right. You know. It's just fantastic. But I have to walk from my office or my area to out the front of the store, basically. Looks a bit odd, but works fine. So I went and did that, and it was about 5:30 by that time, so I needed to get it all done by 6. And sure enough, it said 5.82 gig, and it started off, and it's like came down from 3 hours still in the back office, and it came down to about 5 minutes on the Smarty sim. When it got to 5.82, it carried on, and it ended up going really fast and getting, like, in the next minute and a half, it got to 9 gigabytes. So it was actually reading out, downloaded 9.5 gigabytes of 5.82, and then it suddenly, the bulb suddenly went off in my head that you're an absolute idiot. Literally by this time, it's 5 to 6. Several million people, 20 million probably, have just logged on to Apple servers to watch the bloody event. And I quickly folded everything up, tucked it in the drawer, and thought, I'll resolve this tomorrow. But I thought it was quite amusing that I hadn't even taken that into account and couldn't work out what the hell was going on.
I'm not so sure about iOS 17 being out, by the way. It's certainly not appearing on my end.
You have to, I think, pretty much you... Oh, hang on, 17 minutes remaining. I'm on the iOS 17 developer beta, so I don't know if makes any...
That probably makes quite a bit of a difference.
I don't know if it does or not, because it's not showing in... Maybe it does, I don't know.
It's not turning up for the 14 Pro Max, which is on 16.6.
Yeah, maybe it is just for... So you'd have to go onto the developer beta first and download that.
Which, let's face it, ought to be perfectly sound now.
It's probably... Well, I've used it for the last 3 days and it's been absolutely fine. I actually installed iOS 17 developer beta. I was in a lay-by. It was 30-odd degrees. I was in a lay-by and it wouldn't download using my Smarty SIM or the Leica EE SIM in the iPhone, it said must be Wi-Fi, must be Wi-Fi, which is kind of bonkers. So I, without much hope, I got I had a GIFGAF SIM which went into my iPad. I just bought a 10 quid GIFGAF thing for the holiday, stuck it in the iPad, and then when I I did these massive bloody number swaps, if you remember, I got my main number, I nearly lost it, I got it onto another SIM, put it onto some other SIM, and then I kept swapping them around. When that had all come through, I didn't have a SIM for the Flip 3 that I took with me as well, the bargain one I bought. So I quickly took the GIFGAF SIM out, and as we know, it's O2. So I didn't hold out much hope. I was in rural Wales. And I popped that in
the one person with a connection.
Probably, yeah, no, and it worked, and it started downloading. So there I am, 32 degrees. I've got the aircon on in the car. Got the window cracked open. I'm holding the Flip 3 out of the window as high as I possibly can, and it's making quite a difference from inside the car as well. It's speeding up, you know, massively, and it said something about 17 minutes. So I had a very hot arm by the end of that 17 minutes. But yeah, sure enough, it installed it perfectly fine. Kind of a crazy thing to do to your main phone when you're on holiday. But I think the version of iOS 17 developer beta at the moment is probably identical to this final version. But
you would certainly guess it ought to be, wouldn't you? Unless it's the beta of 17.1 or something, and it probably isn't.
No, it's just listed as iOS 17. It's not even listed as a beta. So, in fact, I'll put the, if you have a little gander in the back channel, I'll stick it in. It's definitely there. But, I mean, I always get the latest beta about a week before all the other pods start downloading it.
Always worry a bit about what it'll do to banking apps and things like that.
Yeah. Nothing. I mean, I think they've been working since Dev 1, to be honest, or Dev 2. I think so. So I guess decisions to be made. I don't think you've got much of a decision to make on the iPhone thing.
To be honest, I mean, much though it pains me to say it, it doesn't leap out at me. It's something I want to chat. I mean, I could trade in the 14 Pro Max, and I think on that one I get 600 quid. That still leaves me having to find 600 quid to buy the 15 Pro Max. Is it worth? I mean, yeah, I'd actually like that to have USB-C. Yeah, I can see that would be an advantage. But it isn't a massive advantage because I've got
it really
lots of
isn't.
Anyway.
Yeah, it really honestly isn't. I don't know that anyone, you know, it's not. And to be fair, Apple didn't push that as a selling point, did they? They were very low key about the whole USB-C thing. It's clear they didn't want to do it particularly. But then why not? Because they've done it on all their other products pretty much.
Well, yeah,
so why not do it?
When you think how long they've been doing USB-C on MacBooks and whatever, and actually from that point of view is very sensible.
Yeah, and I don't know, Leon was getting highly excited about the fact that they've changed the AirPod Pro 2s to USB-C, but I would see that as an advantage, not a disadvantage, really.
It's kind of inevitable they're all going to have to go USB-C.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
the MagSafe batteries, all of those, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I usually just bang the AirPods. I just stick them on the Apple Watch charger nowadays. And I don't charge them that often, I guess, but I very rarely plug them in. I usually just bang them on the Apple Watch charger. Charge absolutely fine on that. I did like the way that Apple said you can now charge another device from your iPhone. You can charge the USB-C AirPods from the iPhone, but what they meant is connecting a USB-C cable to them, which would always work anyway. It's not something that Apple have done specifically.
Are they not talking reverse wireless charging?
No, absolutely, 100% not.
P30 Pro had
no.
Many years ago.
And they could, you know, they could do it so well because they've got MagSafe on the back of the phone as well, haven't they? So
yeah,
piece of cake.
That actually was a brilliant idea when Huawei did it. It got me out of a real pickle, actually. I was abroad on business and forgot to charge up my toothbrush. Now, first world problem. I could have gone and bought an old-fashioned toothbrush. But I didn't realise this until I was going to bed, and basically the toothbrush went and stopped. And I reverse wirelessly charged my toothbrush off the back of the P30 Pro. Not fully, it must be admitted, but enough that I could clean my teeth in the morning, which is good. It's little things like that that are a bit frustrating. I mean, it's like, look at the colours, for example, on the 15 Pro. The colours, I mean, why are they so drab?
Yeah, I thought that, actually. They're a little bit drab. Is that something to do with titanium, do we think? Well, is it harder to colour, or...?
Who knows? I mean, what are they doing? They're doing black, white, and blue, and natural titanium. Well, that's the colour that the Apple Watch Ultra is, which, frankly, is, I think, about its least attractive feature. It's sort of a dirty colour, really. It just doesn't look very nice. But, I mean, I look at this and I think, well, okay, yeah, great. There is just nothing massively appealing about it. And the same thing is true about the Apple Watch. The gestures to tap your finger and thumb together to answer a call or something, well, yeah, that's great, but I can't say it's ever been a practical problem to me, but maybe it could be. But everything's sort of so, yeah, okay, and, you know that the supply of Apple Watch 8s dried up about 3 weeks ago, because I had to get one for my wife, whose watch had packed up. And fortunately, John Lewis came to the rescue in Milton Keynes. But you couldn't get an Apple Watch on the Apple website for love nor money. I actually couldn't touch them. No, it weren't only in our warehouse. Well, it just doesn't really kind of feel worth waiting for, really. I don't know. Maybe this is a sign that I'm getting old. But no, I once upon a time, I'd have already filled in the be ready to order thing on the Apple website. But yeah, I've got a little while to think about that. And like I say, it doesn't help that I can't actually be around at the time ordering opens. So by the time I get to it, it'll be sort of out into November or something stupid anyway, because they always restrict supply, don't they? But it just, yeah, I don't know. I'm more excited at the moment for October the 4th, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I don't think they keep the waffle on every year about shortages, but within a month it's all resolved itself anyway, so I don't think it was a major problem. And I think I'll probably, if I get one, it's likely to be from work on a 0% deal of some sort if we do one, that's the most likely thing to do.
Well, of course, I'm still still the proud owner of a device that I actually managed to buy from Samsung. That's happened since a lot.
Yeah, time, yeah, you actually did, yeah.
I mean, this is just ridiculous. I mean, as you know, I've been blocked by Samsung from buying anything from them for unspecified security reasons, which, despite everything I've tried, I can't find out what they are, which, of course, means that I can't do anything about resolving them. That's even gone to write into the finance director of Samsung UK, whose advice was, get another member of the family to buy them for you. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's how I got the S23 Ultra. I got my 88-year-old mum to buy it. I mean, yeah. How ridiculous is this?
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought to myself, well, I've got the P40 Pro. They're offering quite a decent trade-in on it. I'll have a go at trading it in against a Flip 5, expecting very much that it would get cancelled. But what I did was what I think James actually suggested, which was to apply for the interest-free credit.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, the order went in, and then there was complete silence for an hour or two, and then it said, thank you very much for your order. And then I got a load of stuff from Glow Finance, who are Samsung credit people, saying that I'd been accepted for credit. And it then gave me a choice of which day I wanted delivered. So I ordered it on the Saturday and selected Sunday delivery. Sunday came and went, so did Monday, so did Tuesday. And I was just about to think, well, I'm going to have to get in touch with them because they've had the 80 quid deposit. Well, I got a dispatch notice, and lo and behold, I now have in my hand a Flip 5, and the P40 Pro has gone back and been accepted. So I thought, yippee, I have now resolved the problem I had with Samsung. They've obviously, looked at the correspondence, decided, well, I don't know what's going on here, but we'll reset it and we'll let him buy stuff. So I then tried to buy an accessory off the Samsung website for 40 quid. And guess what? The order got cancelled again. So my only way of buying it off the Samsung website is to use interest-free credit. So we now have the ridiculous situation that when I try and buy something from Samsung and pay them in advance, they cancel the order. But when I get 14 months interest-free credit with a closing balloon payment as well, at 0%, so all the cost is on Samsung, they say, yeah, okay, here you are. I mean,
yeah,
it makes you want to wonder what's going on. I mean, what I'll do, I'll pay this for 2 or 3 months and then I'll pay it off.
Yeah, I mean, for the record, Samsung has got no risk because they get all the money from Glo Finance on day one.
True.
And you pay back Glo Finance, so there's no risk whatsoever.
Glo Finance is their appointed agent, so you'd assume they have some relationship with them. But
maybe. I mean, it wasn't that like that in the car biz. I mean, loads of people just thought they paid us. They literally, I'd say 50% of people that bought a car on finance used to think they paid us the instalments. We even had people that said, can I come in and pay each month? And it was like, no, mate, it don't work like that. It's we get all the money on day one, you know, and it really shocked a lot of people to hear that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't. They're not the greatest company in the world anyway, I don't think, are they? But then, they as long as they take the money, and it doesn't really matter, I suppose.
To be honest, what you're saying about finance shouldn't surprise me because one of my clients is an HP company. But but yes, for all of that, you just think, well, there is something very odd here that you know. Somewhere in Samsung system.
Never. Yeah, you're never going to get to the bottom of it, are you? We had
some variety, but quite well, I don't know.
We changed our, probably the worst thing we've done, actually, we changed our credit provider at John Lewis to Barclays originally, to New Day. And they turned down. Just today I had another conversation, at least one or two a week, with very well-established John Lewis customers who might have had a 20 grand limit on their old John Lewis card and got rejected for the new one. And the lady today said, I just don't understand it. If they'd looked at all the information for the other one, I said, this is the problem. Because of stuff like the GDPR and data protection, the new company can't take a look at the old company's data on your account. They can see what's on the public networks.
I mean, the short answer is they could do if you gave permission, except no company would actually let them do it even then.
No, exactly. They wouldn't provide that information.
They've chosen not to do it. It's a bit like a reference. Asking for a reference these days is a complete waste of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Reference is going to get passed back to the person who needs the reference, and they can sue you on it if they don't agree what you've said.
Exactly,
the
yeah.
The result is no reference is worth what it's printed
no,
on.
No, absolutely.
No, it's strange. But no, I've had an interesting time with beta software because I got onto the One UI 6 beta just before I went on holiday. And I thought, oh, that would be interesting. I'll play with that on holiday and whatever. However, it didn't turn out to be quite such a good plan as I'd thought. I kind of expected it would prevent things like Apple Pay working. Not on an S23 Ultra, Samsung Pay and Android Pay, Google Pay. I expected it would stop those working. What I didn't figure on was that it would actually disable a lot of the camera functionality. So all of the camera stuff that I wanted to play with, I couldn't play with because the app crashed. So in the end, I actually left the S23 Ultra at home. And when I came home, I was pleased to see that they'd issued something that fixed the camera crashing all the time. But it forced me to take a phone that really I haven't done very much with, to be honest, since I got it, namely the Pixel 7 Pro with me. And I got to say, I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
Because it's got a really, really good camera. It took some great pictures. Now, whether they're the best they could possibly have been or whatever, at the end of the day, I take snaps. I don't take top quality photos. But it's a mighty fine camera, the Pixel 7 Pro, I've got to say. I genuinely am quite interested to see what happens on October the 4th because I could see maybe more chance I'd upgrade that than the iPhone right at the moment.
Not if the prices are true, though.
Ah, yeah, that's true. But or actually not bother upgrading any of them and have some spending money next time we go on holiday. So that's also an option.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's been quite easy for me to stick with the 13 Pro. I don't think I would have kept it if this was still the original 13 Pro from 2 years ago. Although having said that, I don't know. I mean, it's
did you have a problem with it?
With what?
With the original 13 Pro?
No, not at all. No, there was nothing wrong with it. I just think, you know, by the time I got to genuinely, this product is 2 years old. Because as I get to 80% battery, I think, well, I'm going to spend 80 quid on a battery, so let's just spend another 500 to upgrade the phone, which is what we all do to some degree.
Oh, yeah, we all do it. I'm only on the cell
phone. It's, you know, it's craziness, isn't it? But there isn't that much difference once you... but then it's still the device I use more. I mean, you know, next week I'm going to trust it to record a wedding ceremony. For the record, if I can get away with it, I'm going to have the RX10 on a tripod, just stationary, doing the same recording, just as a sort of a double sort of check, you know, to make sure that nothing happens. But with the iPhone, I mean, there's nothing likely to happen. And that's the other thing about size, really, 128. Because last night I thought, right, I better get on here. In fact, this might start installing iOS 17 proper in a minute, so I better be quick. I better get on here, and it's only 128. I better get rid of some crap because I'm obviously not going to have anywhere near enough storage to record a wedding. And I've used 63 out of 128, so I've got just over 65 gigabytes left. And even if I record in, even if I record in 4K 60, I think I'll be okay somehow. I don't think I'm going to run out of.
How much storage I've got left? But let's have a look. I've used 115 out of 128.
Oh, so you've got much. You've got much closer than me, then. Yeah.
I'm just wondering what the hell I've got in it that's doing that. Actually, it's busy analysing it. It's probably photos that I could take off and haven't taken off. To be honest.
Yeah, that's the same for me. I've got absolutely tons of bloody photos on here that I could easily get rid of. You know, without a doubt. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else worth talking about on the Apple event, really, because as you say, it was a bit of a, and I don't mean that in a negative way against Apple, because I just think all of these things now are just a yawn fest, really, to some degree.
Yeah, an awful lot. I think I'd agree with you. An awful lot of them all, aren't they? They just, I don't know. I it would be interesting to know what's happened to Apple's share price after this. Although, of course, it's in the markets are closed now, which is. Perhaps unsurprising.
It won't be closed in the States, will it?
Oh, are they? They might not be, actually.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
New York? What's 5 hours off now? Yeah, it might be open.
No, it's 8 hours for that coast.
Yeah, but the stock exchange is in
New York. Oh, it's in New York, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What, is that the only... is that the only place where there's a stock... Isn't there two stock exchanges in... Is NASDAQ? Is that the one?
Yeah, that's also in New York.
That's in New York, yeah.
All that sort of stuff's in New York.
I would have thought that the investors would be fairly happy with the whole thing because it's a little bit better, not any more expensive. I think, you know, for people that were expecting them to be a couple of hundred quid more or a couple of hundred dollars more.
That certainly is, isn't it?
It's going to switch a few people over to having it. Just touching back on while you're looking that up. Just touch back on the gimbal I bought. Have you ever used a gimbal? Have you ever used one?
No, I never have. I'm curious. I said to you, I'll ask you this question afterwards, but I'll ask you now. I've been looking basically for a lightweight tripod.
Yeah,
that's really what I'm after.
Yeah,
And my main motivation is I want to have something that will support one or another phone to do a bit of astrophotography.
Yeah,
and so I bought a very small tripod, which is very pocketable, very nice, and I'm sure it would do the job. The only problem is my arthritic knees and feet don't enable me to bend down low enough to actually do very much with it. So I think I need something that's a little bit higher off the ground.
Mm.
And I was looking actually at that gimbal because it's got legs, hasn't it?
It's got a set of screw-in legs that you put
in
the bottom half.
Upwards by perhaps...
Yeah. Yeah, it's
about... How does it extend upwards by?
think it's about 18 inches, something like that, 18, 20 inches, just enough.
That'd probably be enough for one.
Yeah, it's pretty good. A gimbal is a bit weird, though, and I've got about a week to get used to it because it doesn't... Like, if you had the phone in your hand, you would just turn your hand and point it where you're going. And this doesn't always work exactly like that as you turn the gimbal. And it's got these different modes that I'm trying to get to grips with, watching as many videos as I can and copying what the guys are doing. But you could, I mean, for what I'm doing, it's the wedding ceremony. I could just plonk the damn thing on the windowsill probably and point it towards them and not even be anywhere near it, you know, because
To be honest, the bigger reservation I got from about it was when I look at it, and it's kind of basically you're using its camera software instead of your own, as far as I know.
You don't have to. No, you definitely don't have to. Up until the OM6, then you kind of had to, because most of the features, if you wanted to do time-lapse and things like that, they were all built into the software. The DJI Mimo software is actually pretty decent. I'll caveat that. It's pretty decent on iOS. It's apparently pretty rubbish on Android, and actually that goes for most of these things. The reason I went for the DJI one in the end was the fact that it's a lot of the other ones are just sort of almost unknown unless you are into gimbals. They're actually quite good, I think, some of them, but they're all sort of Chinese ones, and they all have different features. You've basically got to watch a couple of YouTube videos. It obviously works as a tripod because you can angle it wherever you want, and then if you don't touch it, it'll sit where that is, you know, and that'll be job done. So it would certainly double as that.
It might do it, yeah. I mean, Gav was kind enough to give me a number of suggestions for a tripod, but the problem really with it is that the lightest of them was 1.5 kilos. Well, I'm talking about taking this when I travel on a plane, and if your luggage allowance is 23 kilos and 1.5 of it is a tripod, that's a pretty hard sell, really. Whereas the Osmo 6 is about half a kilo from recollection.
Yeah, without the feet on, it's actually even less. But you'd obviously want the feet on.
Are the feet detachable?
Yeah, you just unscrew them. And because it's got a thread in the bottom of the basic gimbal, you can thread anything else into that. So you could literally put that on a monopod, for example, if you want to get above people's heads and things like that. So when I go and film the aircraft over at Lakenheath, you've got to find a way of getting over the fence, really. You can go through the fence with a long zoom, because that'll get rid of the fence, but it still makes moving the camera almost impossible because you have to have the lens up against the fence. But if you have a pole, whether it's advisable to hang a pole over the top of a US air base's nuclear base. Well, it's not a nuclear base at the moment, but it will be again in 10 years. Whether that's advisable to do that, but they never seem to mind what you do over there. But again, you know, then the other thing is an iPhone isn't great for recording aircraft, so it's a bit of a chicken and egg, really. I'll let you know. I mean, I'll let you know after next week when I do the wedding and see how it works. I mean, for the ceremony, it'll be pretty much you could hand hold it, except your arms get a little bit. And it's going to be very jerky because you're going to keep moving it, even if you don't think you are. But then I'll record stuff outside if the weather's good and that. And I think then the gimbal really comes into its own because it just smooths out all the motion of where you're moving it around. So it looks pretty. £135. And basically I decided to get it from Argos because I want to grab it because I've only got one day off. Apart from yesterday, I've only got one more day off before the wedding itself, so I haven't got much time to play with it. So I wanted a whole day yesterday to play with it. So I picked it up at Argos. I think it's about a tenner less than that on Amazon. But I mean, I've played with it for an hour or so, and I think it's worth a punt really at that sort of money. And if not, wait a week and a half, and I can send this up to you if you want. You can have a play with it. But by the time you've done special delivery both ways, it's almost
Yeah.
Hardly, you know, you've paid out 20 odd quid before you even do anything. So it's I think you can always find a use for it, even if you're just filming stuff in the garden. And if you're, for example, trying to get something like a bee on a flower or a bird, or maybe not a bird, but a robin or something, you know, that comes quite close to you, just pull that extension out. And that's the other thing that's pretty unique about that. None of the others that I could see have got any sort of extension. Yeah. And a lot of them are sort of 400 grams, 500 grams themselves, just for the base part. And I think you'll find that the just the gimbal on this is something like only about 240 or 300 grams at the most. Very light.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because, you know, the other thing about it is, you know, if you guys spend the day wandering around with it, something that weighs 2 kilos is going to start to weigh you down.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, and then you're not going to use it.
309 grams.
Yeah, I thought on its own it's 309, and then it adds a bit if you screw the feet into it. Pretty much most people use them with the feet screwed in permanently, which is, I think, how I'll use mine. You just use it as an extra handle, because I think one video last night that really hit home was that most people, or a lot of people you see with a gimbal, are walking around with it in one hand, but you need to hold it in both. You need to hold it in both, and then of course it doesn't, if you're walking, it doesn't do away with those movements. You have to sort of develop a special walk, the ninja walk it's called. You have to walk like a ninja to get it. It just depends what you want, I suppose. It's just
probably limp like a ninja, if that
counts. Yeah, it's kind of amazing that, to me even, it's amazing that I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to primarily film this with, because I actually have filmed a wedding ceremony several years ago with a similar phone to the RX10. Certainly weight-wise, it was a DSLR, and it's only 20 minutes or so. But by the end of that, my God, your arm starts to ache. And a lot of these places, they will let you film, but they won't let you have like big heavy tripods in there and stuff like that, because they're quite limited on space in these places often. So I think just using the gimbal and the iPhone will be quite good, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I do fancy doing some more, filming. And the other thing is, if you ever decide you want to film yourself to camera, then it's got things like tracking on the DJI, so you can just literally set it up, put it on face tracking, and you can move around in the frame, and it will just follow your face and keep you in the frame. So it's got most of the stuff they've got in it is taken from the drones, of course, which they're very, very au fait, you know, with they make some of the best drones on the market. So
they do make a lot of the drones, don't they? Yeah, so that it has to be said then that the 116 gigabytes used is going to be an issue on the Pro Max, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. If you go for a 15 Pro Max, then you can only buy 256 this year.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I was just saying, and that's actually one of the few reasons I'd even think about it.
Yeah.
And I do wonder about that. I'll have to see what I can strip off in the next day or two.
Yeah, I'll bet you've got loads of crap on there that you don't need. I mean, I know I've got nearly all my photos are in Google Photos anyway, so I don't know why I'm keeping them on the iPhone.
No, I've got about 15 gigs just for a starter.
I think the main reason I started keeping them on there again was that the HDR video that I take... if you try and watch that on Google Photos, it is not in HDR. If you download it from Google Photos first, then it's in HDR, because it's stored on there in HDR if you're doing it in original quality. But if you actually try and watch it, it's in standard def. But then at the end of the day, if I was to go and buy a 15, not a 15 Pro, 799, ultimately, I wouldn't have HDR anyway, because the screen wouldn't be capable of it. Although, I've got it on an iPad Pro where I can watch it in HDR, and I've got it on an iPhone. The only downside with HDR video, I don't know if you've ever watched much of it, but the downside of it is it makes that as soon as you finish watching it, it makes the rest of the screen look like it's almost switched off.
Yeah, that is the problem, isn't it, with that sort of stuff?
And it's so ridiculously bright. It's pretty amazing, but I don't know, something tells me that if I'm going to spend $799 on a base model 15, which actually is not far off a 13 Pro, actually. It's pretty close to a 13 Pro. There we go. I'm ready to install iOS 17. I'm going to then look and go for another 200, I can have the Pro.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? And this is where Apple's pricing has been very clever for years.
And the Pro at that price is 128, which is fine for me because I've still got half of mine left. It's 187 grams instead of 203. So even though I've got used to 203, the lighter a phone is, the better I like it. I know a lot of people are the opposite to that. So yeah, there's sort of probably four phones I could in theory buy: a 15 Plus. A 15 Pro, or even I could see myself for the first time ever buying a 15 Pro Max. Because for the first time ever, it's not too heavy. Did you look up how heavy the S23 Ultra is?
No, but I think
could be. Yeah, I'll do the same. See who gets there first.
We haven't mentioned the demise of one of the most fab little iPhones, have we?
Has one of those what's gone?
Yeah, the 13 mini has finally bitten.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's weird.
Must be a bit sad.
Kind of weird to me. They kept it for a whole year. 234. Yeah. 234, and the new iPhone is 221.
Yeah, well, if you can tell the difference between that in your pocket and the other in your pocket on weight, I'd be surprised.
It depends really on how it feels in hand. I felt like the 23 Ultra wasn't too heavy, but was a bit too big. I wonder how that stacks up against the 15 Pro for size. I'll have to have a look. Yeah, I'll have to have a look and see. but then I do love the. The way the 13 Pro would be interesting, actually, to and it's very hard for us to get a feel of them because they obviously put them in those stupid cradles when they come next week to put them out. They'll put them in the cradles, and you can't feel the weight obviously then anyway. But until someone buys one, and I don't, very few customers have the Pro model set up. Almost all our setups are on SEs and 13s and 14s. For whatever reason, probably because of the nature of it, anyone buying a Pro generally doesn't want to pay £30 to have it set up. They've got that ability that they're going to do that themselves, you know, which makes perfect sense, really, quite honestly, because it's obviously not the hardest thing in the world for most people to set up a phone. But for a lot of people, it you know, I had a guy three or four weeks before my holiday, I had a guy say, yeah, I know it's £80 for you to set this laptop up, but I can earn something like £150 an hour. So to me, it's half an hour's work. So I'll go and work and I'll pay you the £80 to set it up and I can come back and have a go at you if it's wrong. And I'm like, yeah, fine. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What do you do for this setting up £80? What do you actually do?
The £80 one is would be that you have an old laptop. You want us to set up a new laptop with your effectively update all the software, which actually on a Windows machine is quite a nice thing to have done for you because it's a pain in the bum to do it yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Update all the software, then we would... basically do your email, set up all your email, which again on something like the average PC laptop, we'll discuss it with you first, but we'll probably end up recommending Thunderbird software for the email, which, because Windows itself comes, if you're not buying Office, and in fact if you're not buying Office on 365, you won't get Outlook. You don't get Outlook with the one-off payment one. You have to buy 365 to get Outlook. So the Windows Mail app is appallingly bad. Yeah. So we'll set that up for you, however many accounts you've got, really. We're only supposed to do two, but we'll do as many as you've got. And Thunderbird's a damn good Windows email app, actually. We will then transfer all your data from the old one. So it's a data transfer and setup all in one. And it includes installing for free one piece of software that you buy at the same time, usually Office. But equally could be Norton or something like that. So If you just want the laptop set up, it's 45 quid. So, I mean, this chap in particular, for 80 quid, who said I can earn 160 quid an hour, he was a photographer. And he bought in an old iMac. And, well, I don't forget what he had, actually, because that was the one where he had a 3 terabyte hard drive in his old Mac. And we only discovered that after he bought a 512 gigabyte new iMac. So I had to phone him up and say, we have a slight problem, Houston. Your 3 gig of data. But, I mean, as it happened, you know, in the end, what we did was we sold him we didn't sell him a Samsung T7 because I had to send him to Amazon to buy one because we don't do the 2 terabyte one. He bought a 4 terabyte one in the end to give him some headroom. No, sorry, he had to buy a 4 terabyte because he had 3 terabyte on the other one and he wanted everything transferred. So as I pointed out to him, the 4 terabyte one cost him about 160, I think, at that time. And had he bought an extra 4 terabytes off Apple, I think that was £1,200.
It would have been a bit more, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and of course you're literally putting all your eggs in one basket. So he got he got great value for 80 quid. Absolutely brilliant value for 80 quid. That's it.
Updated.
I mean, not a phone transfer that we did today is basically 30 quid. I don't know, really. I mean, obviously, that's daft. No one listening to this would pay anyone 30 quid to do it. But I've had people where an older couple have said, we asked our son to do it, but he said, actually, 30 quid's good value. Go and get them to do it because they just didn't want to do it, you know. Mm. I mean, the one I done today was literally a case of telling the iPhone, putting them together and telling it to copy, and that was it, you know. But at least they go away with all the software updated. If they set it up themselves, they almost certainly wouldn't update the software. Although I've noticed, actually, the last few times I've done it, Apple, on some cases now, Apple, when you do the transfer, Apple are making you do the software update before you can do the transfer. Which I wonder if they're...
It's far more sensible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really. It annoys the hell out of me because it means I can't get on with setting it up properly until it's done the Poxy download. And you know, sometimes, like one today was only 16.6.1. It was only about 600 megabytes. But on my work Wi-Fi, it was saying it was going to take like an hour and a half, you know.
Look on the bright side, at least it wasn't a pixel.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't.
Megabyte.
Thankfully,
the other day. It took about an hour.
Yeah, but with the Pixel, you can let it get on with it. You don't have to sit and watch
true.
It.
Yeah, that is.
And
true.
I would do that if we ever set up a Pixel. Which again, I've never done a Pixel because I think anyone buying a Pixel knows what they're doing. You're not just going to happen to buy one of them and go, oh, I don't know how to set it up. If I ever did a Pixel, I would just say, yeah, look, it's updating the software. It'll take a few hours, but don't worry about it. It'll do it automatically because it kind of does. Whereas with an iPhone, I'd rather see it finish before I let them go, really.
I think you want to know the job's been done, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. So I think I can go into my iPhone now and I can take off the beta. Oh, it's sucked a bit of the battery out and overheated to the point where the screen has turned dimmer. iOS up to date. I can take it off the beta now, apparently, according to Mr. Leon. So we'll do that, and hopefully nothing. I have now got official iOS 17. So I better.
What's the build number?
I better go and do my Apple Watch to iOS 10 now, hadn't I? The build number. How do I find that out? I'll ask tech support next time. Bear with me. Bear with me. Oh, the brightness has come back on. That's got me by surprise. No, I don't see build number in there. I've got modem firmware.
It should be iOS version, shouldn't it?
iOS version. Oh, there we go. 17. Let's click that. Oh, here we go. 21A329. What's that mean? Is that the latest one?
Well, that's what I'm just trying to find.
Oh, okay. 21A3.
Longer to find that.
21A329. I don't know what it means. Leon seems to know these things, doesn't he?
Usually. Right, let's have a look. iOS version history on Wikipedia. Let's have a look. iOS 17, what does it say? Lots of pretty graphs about what's supported where, but does it give me the version number? No, it doesn't. I wish I'd asked the question.
We might
have to sort of kick that into the next show, won't we?
iOS, no, we can find this out. 21A, we've got to wrap up soon anyway, because my missus is off to bed shortly. She's up at bloody 5 again, or 4. iOS 21A329. She went to work at 3:30 first day back, because she got a phone call to say one of the freezers had gone wrong, or the main freezer had gone wrong. So several £1,000 worth of release candidates. There we go. These are called release candidates according to Apple Insider. 21A329 RC builds. Yep, absolutely. So these are the actual release versions. Yeah.
That's the
So I'll get the show out straight after we've finished. So anyone who's interested, if they listen to it tonight,
Do we think we've helped sell any iPhones?
I don't think we'll have a huge impact on Apple's bottom line one way or the other. I suspect at the beginning of the show, when I said most of it will be iPhone, probably half our listeners, so 4 people, probably hung straight up. Don't know. I don't know, really. I mean, I think it's all got to that point. We for years, actually, now, for the last 2 or 3 years, we've said they've plateaued, but they really actually have.
You've got to say, well, why would I change a 14 Pro Max with 100% battery health for a 15 Pro Max? The only reason,
because
a bigger capacity.
Yeah, you see, you're thinking of a reason already, and it's a rubbish reason, because you haven't run out of space.
Really. No, and I don't think I have. And what's more, I'm not sure I will. And I've got an S23 Ultra with 512 gigabytes of storage space. So, you know, that's not a very good reason to say I need the same amount of storage space on an iPhone, is it?
No, and I think, I don't know, Dave's in there talking about selling his 14 Pro Max, so you may not be the only one.
Is he? What's he doing that for?
Because he's Dave.
Yeah, well, at least he hasn't sold it already and bought a new one.
And, exactly. I mean, we do know someone that bought one in August 1 year, don't we?
Yeah, we know somebody who bought one in August, yeah. Yeah, we've forgotten that particular manoeuvre.
And like I said, we had a guy today. He said, can I buy and get a 14 set up? It was a base 14. You know, so actually, you know, for that guy in John Lewis, he's probably better off with that than he is. He had an 11, by the way. So it was an 11 I swapped over to a 14, which was a doddle. But here's the thing. If he'd have waited a week and a half for a 15, he'd have took
cheaper.
It'd be the same price on the 14 and 15, actually. But, well, actually, he'd probably save 40 quid because we got 40 quid off that and we're not going to have 40 quid off the new one. But he'd have took it home and he'd have tried to cram one of his many Lightning connectors straight into that USB. Now, it's going to happen massively, I'll tell you. We will have to tell people, look, it's USB-C. Do not try and put any, because the point is the Lightning connector, technically, in my opinion, structurally, is a much better connector because you can poke most anything you want really into that Lightning connector if you're careful. You're not going to damage the pins because they're around the outside of the connector.
And I actually had not a USB-C, but the previous USB plug with the central sort of bar.
Yeah.
I actually had that's the only time I've ever had a phone where I had a major problem. A set of keys went down that hole and basically you'd had to, I had to send it to Texas to be replaced or something stupid.
Yeah. People are going to smash the hell out of it, I tell you, without a doubt.
I think that's right.
Without a doubt, it is going to be an issue. And then, it's going to cost however much, 100 quid probably, to get that replaced, I suspect.
Yeah, maybe and the rest.
We already go to some detail about explaining that when people buy the new 499 10th gen iPad, because they've nearly always come from a 9th gen or a 6th gen or 7th gen. So they've got the Lightning connectors, and you say, look, the cable in the box is the only one you should use. You must use the cable in the box. Please do not use any other cables to cram into the hole. I mean, having said you can't destroy a Lightning connector, I've had at least 2 customers that have destroyed it. God knows what they've tried to plug in. I think in one case it was a micro USB, which just obviously probably just stretched it a little bit or something, you know, and or scratched the pins inside or something. But I mean, Apple, actually, it was in the first year and Apple just replaced it. Or Apple's agent in the UK just replaced it. They decided that they, you know, luck of the draw, I think, with those sort of things.
I think it was going back to the 15 Pro and looking at what the Apple website tries to sort of sell it on. It basically makes a big fuss about how it's great for gaming and the pro new
processor.
Well, yeah, I've never played a game on my phone, and I don't really imagine I'm going to. So, yeah, that's another good reason why. A monster win for gaming. That is the number 2 thing after it's made of titanium. Neither of which I'm really interested in.
So, I mean, I was watching that section, and my first thought was, it's the same with anything like consoles when they bring out two different versions. The application will be written primarily for the base model. You might get a company put a bit of ray tracing or something into one that only works. You know, ray tracing only is selectable on an iPhone Pro. It's just minimal. It's completely minimal. And I don't know. I mean, kids, I suppose, are quite happy playing games on a 6-inch, 7-inch screen. But I mean, I can't. An iPad is about as small as I can go and still be able to play the game. And I only play one game. So, and the graphics on that are very basic. So I wouldn't need anything. I am going to have to wrap up, I'm afraid. My beloved is currently preparing for her bed, so I think I'm going to have to wrap things up, if that's okay.
I mean, our listener, both of them, are very impressed that we've produced a stealth episode after they'd probably decided we'd given up from it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
As long as you remember to press record, that is.
I did. I was just checking, actually, just now, thinking we might have to do this another night. But, yeah, just checking on that. So, yeah, so that's it, I think. We'll... Sounds actually like we've been a bit down key about the whole thing, really.
Yeah,
but
I was just thinking about this. We haven't really been very enthusiastic, have we? Sorry.
No. But then I think it's
say I'll try and see if I can find a larger capacity 14 Pro as a sort of sidekick to the 14 Pro Max. Actually, yeah.
I think
almost get more use from it, but I think. But...
I mean, if you decided to get the. You know, you thought about maybe going back to the smaller one, then I don't think you should let the fact that it's got 5 versus 3, you know, how often, I mean, when your recent holiday, how often did you use the 3x zoom? Did you use it all the time?
To be honest, I took almost no photos on the iPhone at all, so okay. That answers that one, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, absolutely.
There's a bit of me that thinks, well, actually, absolutely. What I should do is buy an iPhone 13 or something and not even a Pro.
Yeah.
As the event started,
my comment to Jackie was, I think for the first time ever, I could genuinely get on, I'd be okay with a base model. I don't need the Pro, but that's why while in my head I was thinking that the Pro will start at least $10.99, if not $11.25 or something crazy like that. Seeing that drop in at $999 is a sort of figure where you think, well, okay, I've bought several phones at that price. The 13 Pro was actually $949. I remember it well. That was the price for ages. You know, $949, and then the 14 Pro went to $1049, and that's pretty much where it stayed. Our price on John Lewis tonight on the 14 Pro is. is actually £1,039. So it's actually, if someone came in tomorrow to buy a 14 Pro, A, I would do my very best to stop them and say, wait a week. Should they insist, then I'm going to say, well, look, you're paying £40 more just on the basis of having an extra year's warranty almost. I suppose it isn't really, though, because if they bought a 14 Pro tomorrow, they still have 2 years warranty, wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, yeah.
But that would be the craziest thing in the world to do, to buy a 14 Pro tomorrow.
Question is, Kev, when are you actually going to get any stock?
Yeah, we don't know. We haven't heard yet what the score is. We won't do pre-orders. We never have.
No.
I don't think we have the facility to do pre-order. It's too complicated for us to do it. We could try and do it online, but we can't do it in store. So, yeah, we don't know. We genuinely don't know. I don't think stock is going to be anywhere near as constrained as people think, to be honest. I think stock is going to be fine, but we shall see.
Well,
we shall see.
Yeah, and on that thought, in a fortnight's time, you'll be able to tell me, won't you?
I will. Yeah, if we do a show in not this Sunday but the following, I should be able to let you know. Yeah, how it goes, or I'll probably let people know before that if anything changes, if we do start doing pre-orders or whatever. But the Apple Store is probably your best bet for these for the early guys. I think you'll probably get on there and pre-order.
I'm gonna finish talking in a moment, and then I'm gonna take the plunge and put 17 on the Pro Max.
Yeah, it's done. Job done. Save you waiting for everyone else to get it next week, won't it?
It will.
All right, folks, thanks very much for listening, and sorry it's been a little bit low-key, but I feel a bit low-key anyway, because first day back after 2 weeks, and my partner's on holiday as well, and we've got no aircon in the building for the last week, so it was like an absolute roast house today. God knows what it was like last week for the guys and girls, because it was like a roaster today, just and it's not that hot in Ipswich today, about 24, I think. So, yeah. Yeah, I felt a bit low today, to be fair. We will see you guys all in a couple of weeks. Yep. Bye.
Bye.